All right, amigos, welcome to the Contractor Fight podcast, which actually made Builder Funnel's top 21 list. Speaking of Builder Funnel, Dan, we got Spencer Powell here with us today, who's the man, the myth, the legend behind the Builder Funnel empire. And he is the author of the Remodeler Marketing Blueprint book, a book that came out recently. How to attract leads, increase sales, dominate your competition, all that stuff. And a little known fact, Dan, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Spencer actually was trapped in the Himalayas for about 12 days, and he survived on crickets and other small insects. And he actually dug and found water. And it was this crazy story. So Spencer, welcome. How are you doing today?
Man, what an intro. I don't know what to say other than I'm glad to be here and not in the Himalayas. So.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and there was that fight for the princess's honor that you had to go against that dwarf.
I mean, that was a whole, that would take a whole podcast in itself. So.
I'm still loopy from all my cold medicine. I've had a massive head cold all weekend. I've been floored. I'm a big baby when I'm sick too. I'm like,
I'm like that too.
You know, like I need some soup. I need you to rub Vicks on my chest. I need, you know, like I milk it for everything it's worth.
I know. My wife always teases me that about that stuff too. She's like, man, you're never sick. But then if you are, you're such a wimp about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Says that as she's holding your newborn, right?
Right.
Exactly. It's like, well, what are you doing right here?
Yeah, she's like, you know, I just squeezed this thing out of my body, right? You know,
so. But my Coke's flat. This is untenable.
Yeah. So Dan, this is Dan's first time meeting Spencer, but Spencer has been on at least two other times, I know. And Spencer, I love having you on because you're the real deal, man. You like, you practice what you preach from a marketing perspective. You help so many contractors get their heads out of their keisters. So I know before we kind of counted down and hit record here, you shared that 2020 was a good year for the business. You had another kid. So family life is going good. What else? What else happened in 2020 that you can go, yeah, that was pretty cool?
Man. Yeah. Good question. I mean, it's tough to top the kid. So we had our second boy. So we got a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old now. Contracted to build a new home, so we're excited to raise them in that. Wrote the book, so that you just, you know, that we'll maybe talk a little bit about today. And then, yeah, business did really well. And I mean, this industry did really well. And, you know, during the pandemic, it was like 45 days of uncertainty. Everyone just kind of froze. And then everyone's like, okay, this is how it's going to be, you know, let's move forward. And thankfully, you know, construction was essential business. And, you know, a lot of our clients, they just said, all right, we're sticking with you. We're going to market, things are working. And then a lot of people woke up to digital marketing and they came flooding to us. And so, we had lots of talks last year with the team. It was like a lot of gratitude being expressed, you know, that, we were in a good financial position, and then we were able to take advantage of, doubling down on marketing in certain areas and things that you should do when things turn for the worse, but you've got to kind of set yourself up for that. When things are riding high, you got to set money aside and be prepared. So, just grateful that we were diligent leading up to it and then had, you know, acted and things worked out well. Yeah.
So you said there was a lot more interest towards the whole digital marketing thing. And I have to believe that because of the nature of the COVID year, right? People, they're stuck at home. Just like, you know, Zoom went through the roof, right? People using Zoom and GoToMeeting.
Yeah, I missed the boat on that stock. I should have seen it coming. Of course, I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. What are some of the common, when you look at your clients that had a great year in 2020? Because I can say the same. Dan, we've had a lot of people that had a great year. The fight had a record year, despite all the BS going on. But what, Spencer, what are a couple of the commonalities that you saw in 2020 of those who kicked some serious ass?
Yeah, I would say it's a good question because we were really, you know, when you're doing something like digital marketing where there's a lot of variables, a lot of unknowns, everyone wants guarantees and you can't do that. You know, this was kind of where the rubber hit the road and we're like, okay, is this stuff really going to work? And what we saw was that people that had been doing content marketing, they'd been investing in their website, investing in SEO, writing blog content, doing videos. It was just like it sped up the whole process. So it was like this stuff was working, but then because of what you described, everyone was at home, everyone's doing research, and then compound that with, if I'm going to be at home forever, maybe we want to make this place a little nicer and do some projects and make it more comfortable. Now they're turning online instead of to their buddy next to them at work because they're not sitting there anymore. And so it just accelerated the pace at which people were searching online because it was already happening, but then it just went a lot faster. So those people were in prime position. They just scooped up all the leads. And I mean, it's combined that with just lots of demand across the board. Everybody's busy, but those people really cranked it because their leads just jumped because they were sitting there in some of those top positions. So again, it was one of those things like investing in it prior really ended up paying off when it all hit. Cause it was kind of too late to all of a sudden just like flip on your SEO, you know, now that everyone's at home.
Right.
So what did you see from guys that were kind of asleep at the wheel coming into 2020 marketing wise? I mean, what do you see them kind of skipping some of the steps that early adopters did, or what kind of reaction did you see with them?
Yeah, I think with those folks, they basically turned and they tuned into a lot of like virtual conferences that were going on, and they're going, what do we do during this time? And everyone was talking about online, whether it was online marketing or online sales via Zoom or, you know, but like you've got to be there. And so I think it turned them on to, okay, now I'm going to shift those dollars. And so you saw a lot of money go from events and home shows and those types of things. Okay, that budget went online, you know, seminars maybe turned into webinars. And so that got digitized. And so you saw a lot of shift in budget. And then a lot of people that just have never invested in marketing, it's a new line item for them. You know, I'm sure you guys run into that too. They're going, okay, well, we're going to put it into digital because we're not going to do something physical and in person. It's got to be virtual. And so I think we saw both those things, a shift in dollars and then an entry of dollars into the digital space.
Interesting. Yeah. I think the people that weren't marketing at all were probably the ones that are completely caught flat footed on this, where others were, you know, moving from traditional like direct mail or old school techniques. A little bit easier when you've got the cash, just to shovel in a different fire.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I think some of those people that got caught flat footed, like you said, they still were able to ride it out because of just the pure demand for all services. But I mean, it's not a strategy that I would want to rely on for my own business.
So. No.
A wing and a prayer.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? No.
Sometimes it works out.
That's right. Sometimes despite myself, right? or in spite, what is it? In spite of myself?
In
spite of myself. That's what it is.
It's your show. Say whatever you want.
Yeah, you know? I can say whatever I want. There you go. All right. So let's get into this book. What got you, you know, I think it was before we recorded, you said that last year you took 3 months and you wrote the book, and made it your big rock and this and that. What was it about writing the book? What was the why behind it? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah. So
at this time, at this place, you said, this is the time to do this.
That's a good question. I think a couple of things. I mean, one, writing a book has always been on my bucket list. So it was a good way to check that box. But as we've been thinking about our own marketing efforts, we always try to practice what we preach and kind of be our own best case study, if you will. So that's why we have a podcast. We do a bunch of video. We're on social. We do our own SEO. We do all the stuff that we tell our clients they should be doing and they should pay us to do for them. We do all that for ourselves. And I've been thinking about a book for a while, and it just seemed like, okay, we've been doing this almost 11 years now. I think we've got enough expertise, enough experience, you know, that we can actually put this together and it'll be meaningful and helpful. And it's another one of those marketing tools, right? So, okay, now that you've got a book, you know, it adds more credibility. And again, you'll hear me, I'm just super transparent about it. I'm not just saying, oh yeah, I wrote this book, here, go buy it. You know, it's like, yeah, I want you to buy it because I think it's going to help you. But it also, if somebody's looking at three other agencies and one of them has a, they wrote the book on it, like who are you going to go with? And so I think it's a good marketing tool for a lot of businesses. So that's what it came down to: bucket list and then good marketing tool. I'm always looking for marketing ideas.
How much time did you spend a day when you were writing?
A day?
Yeah. Did you have a word count? Did you have time? What was your goal?
My goal was 1,000 words a day. Or maybe it was 500. I'm trying to, I did the math at the time and I said, okay, I want to do draft one in 3 months. I'm just going to work on it during the week. And I was just going to hit a certain word count every day. It was either 500 or 1,000. And I just got up at 4:30 and said, this is my writing time. And because I knew I wouldn't do it during the day in the middle of the whirlwind, you're doing other stuff. And I didn't get every single day, but I got most of them and I got to the finish line. And, you know, some days you get more than 500 or 1,000, you get in a groove, and other days really suck. But you know, the deadline really helped, because even with that, it took a full year and a couple of weeks to launch it from start, you know, even with the first draft being done in 3 months, to go through editing and revisions and cover design and all the stuff.
Yeah. So I'm, as you know, we're going to put links and everything for people to go get it. And I think they should get it. But if you had to sum the book up in a few Cliff Note bullet points, somebody's going to pick it up, they're going to dig into it, they're going to read it. What are those bullet points that they're really going to walk away with on the other end?
First one is adopting a thought leadership and content mindset. So thinking about producing content to become visible and become a thought leader in your area. So that takes the form in blogging, social media, podcasting, videos, like those are all just different mediums. But really, as you start to do that, one, you get seen more. You get seen more in Google. You get seen more in social. You have content to share with your email list that's actually helpful. So then you can nurture leads. Mm-hmm. And now you're getting seen by leads that are thinking about you. So you'll really understand, I think you'll take away, okay, I need to kind of think of myself almost as a media company, and I just happen to be remodeling or fencing or whatever it is that you do. So that's takeaway number one. And then I guess the other big piece is breaking down the framework. So I think a lot of times people go to a conference, they attend a virtual thing, and they're like, okay, SEO is important.
Yeah.
Now what? Like, yep. What do I do? Like, what do you do with that? Or, oh, social media. Yep, I get it. There's billions of people on social media. Okay, what's my game plan? And so in there, we break down like how all these pieces fit into a framework. And like, here's what you can do month after month, like execute on these things. And I think that's a lot of times what people, they just need a place to start. It's like, okay, write 2 blogs, post to social 3 or 4 times a week. You know, have somebody working on your technical SEO, you know, a few hours a month, send 1 to 2 emails a month, you know, so I'm giving you some of the framework here, you know, but those are the bullet points that I think most people just need. And it gives them the confidence to say, okay, I'm going to start here, then I'm going to measure, then I'm going to tweak, then I'm going to improve. But otherwise it just turns into this, okay, social is important, so I'm going to, you know, post once a day for 2 weeks, and then it just drops off.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think for a lot of your average contractor, we see this in our groups, Tom, is the internet marketing stuff is just this ethereal thing they don't get, because it's like you're selling like an idea, and just a book like this, I think, you know, personally, be able to like read it and kind of see examples of this stuff just might make it seem more concrete.
Yeah.
So, but it's always a struggle I hear with guys we talk to, is that they know what SEO is and all this stuff, what they need it, quote unquote, but they have no idea what it even means or what to expect as far as timelines or return and all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, and when I wrote it, you know, I've I'm a big reader. I try to read between 35 and 50 books a year, just personal development, sales, marketing, you name it. And so going into this one, I wanted it to be kind of the theory, but I love the tactical, like, okay, I read this book. Now, like, I got to go out and do something with it. Otherwise I just read it and, you know, it's good information or whatever. But if you don't actually put it into practice, then it's not going to help your business. So I tried to balance those two.
I want to talk about chapter two of your book about how to think about your website. And I love your opening to this chapter. And it reads like this: what if you had a salesperson who never took breaks, didn't take holidays, never needed to eat or sleep, and always delivered your message the same way to every prospect? Wouldn't that be incredible? That person can exist in the form of your website. I mean, I love how you just frame that right away, because so many guys, they look at the website as a necessary evil and they kind of half-ass it. And the way you're I'm going to own this, and I've been owning this for a while. It's just not been the number one rock in my life right now. Like, even in the fight, my website needs a lot of work. Okay. Like, I know that, I acknowledge it. So I don't want anyone thinking for a second, like, I will not point to my website as a shining beacon of hope and all that for websites. Right. But like, the two of you that are on here, like Spencer, I've been on your site a lot. It's, you're like the marketing answer man. Dan's, you know, got Sherwood Painting in Boston, and in addition to working here at the fight, and Dan's site is a wealth of knowledge. Like, you guys have both approached your website like that salesperson who's there answering questions, is always available, and this and that, so that by the time somebody fills out a form, they're pretty much ready to rock. Yeah. So what other thoughts did you want to drive home about how to think of your website for those who are thinking that putting money into it is, you know, not worth it?
Yeah.
A lot of guys still think that.
Yeah. You know? Few things come to mind. I mean, one is just think about how you buy anything yourself. You know, think about your own experience and, you know, do that survey of one. You go, okay, I'm buying literally anything. I mean, you go to Google, you go to Amazon, you start browsing, you're looking around, you know, what makes you think other people do it differently? That's what we all do. And so if you think about your own research process, that's what your customers are going through. They're typing in questions. They're typing them into Google. They want to know the answers. They're going to track them down. They might as well track them down from your site and be on your site, you know, seeing you as the thought leader. The other point I want to talk about with that is price, because people are, and this is just a good example, because I'll say that and then people will go, well, I don't want to give away my secret sauce or all my special information, or I don't want my competitors to see it, or whatever that, you know, kind of the garbage is. Price is a good example. People don't want to put pricing on their website for a service that doesn't have, you know, exact pricing, you know. So for all of us, we don't have exact pricing, right? It depends. It depends on square footage and finishes and style and all the things. That's okay. The range is, hey, we do bathrooms between 10,000 and 40,000. Here's why you're on the low end. Here's why you might be on the high end. It's bigger. We're blowing out walls. It's higher end finishes. You can talk about all those things. And so when the person does the search, they find your article and they go, oh, okay, well, I was hoping to spend $3,000. Well, good. Now they're not going to call you. So it starts to work as a qualifier. So yeah, I guess those are a couple of things that come top of mind just with the whole content game, is just answer everyone's questions. Talk about all the things that you already know. It's already in your head. Your customers just don't know those things. And now they're coming to you and they're going, wow, these guys are real experts. They know everything. Maybe we should hire them to do this. And, you know, it sounds pretty simple, and it kind of is. It's just a lot of work. It's just a lot of work.
All right. I got a question the other day from somebody on one of my lives I was doing or something. Somebody asked, is blogging still effective? Okay, because we're in the age of video now, right? Like vlogging and video content and this and that. Has the written blog world, the written word, is it nosedived at all? Is it still strong as ever? Like, where are things with that for the contractor in general right now?
Yeah. Still effective is the short answer. I mean, yeah. I would love for people to do video also and, you know, get into that game, combine elements. So write the blog and then do a video on the same topic, embed it from YouTube. Now you're in both of those search engines. You have more exposure. If somebody gets to the blog, they have multiple options. They can skim it. If they're a reader, they can watch it. If they watch a 5-minute video, now they've been on your blog post on your website for 5 minutes. Google likes that. It helps your post rank better. You have to be more thoughtful, I think, today. So, Tom, it's been interesting to watch. Like, when we first started doing this, we were blogging like 16 times a month, and, you know, for some clients, and just getting super aggressive. And it was just like quantity, like how much can we crank out there? And you'd see your sites start to take off. And then that started to taper off, you know, and then it was like, okay, now we really actually need to think through more from like a topic and keyword perspective. So you see something like kitchen remodeling. That's a pretty broad topic, but maybe we could make what we call a pillar page, where you break that down into, you know, timeline and process and cost and design ideas. And then those might link out to some blogs that go deeper on those topics, but they all link back to this pillar page, which gives that a lot of authority. And so we're seeing a lot more longer form content generally doing better. I think if you look up all the SEO stats, they'll say it, you know, the average top ranking search result is 2,000 words or more. And so you're just starting to see that more in-depth posts work. And I think it's because they've changed the algorithm. So time on page is one of the things that helps you rank. So if somebody gets there, they're reading it for 3 minutes, that's a good thing. And then if you have all these links to other similar resources, now they're clicking further into the site and Google sees that they're engaging. And so that's a good thing too. So there's definitely, I think, a little more strategy than there used to be, which is just like spray content out there as much as you can.
Yeah. Dan, you got some pretty good pillar content on your site that you've been building for a few years now.
Yeah. You know?
And don't you have like the everything you need to know about painting your doghouse or whatever on there?
Yeah.
We've got everything on that thing.
That one probably everything kills on. It. Yeah.
Yeah. People love dogs. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Our old site was really written word heavy, and people just kind of, I came from, I'm more of a reader. Like, I personally, you know, I always say don't market to yourself, but yeah, I don't watch videos on my phone when they jump up. I'm a reader instead. But I see now my newer customers, like a little video for a hook, and then they'll jump in and dig in deeper in our warranty thing once they kind of deem me worthy because they've gotten a taste of what we stand for. So kind of a hybrid approach seems, at least where my customers are going at the moment.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see that trend continuing, but there's still, even if you are video heavy, I would still recommend putting that in a blog post, even if you just summarize the blog post on your own site and then promote that page, then they can watch the video, but that page starts to build equity for that keyword. Mm. In addition to the benefits you're getting on YouTube for that keyword, because people might do the search on YouTube and just boom, find you there. But if they do it on Google, maybe the YouTube video pops, but a lot of other stuff will pop too. And if somebody doesn't want to watch the video like you, they're going to click on an article. So yeah, hopefully they'll find you in both places.
Interesting.
So what about somebody records a video? Can they take this transcription from that and just make that a blog post and pretty it up? Is that as effective, or you got to go in there and you got to do some voodoo to it, don't you? Like some, because I think a lot of people, like you're talking 2,000 words, I could run my mouth, and this is me, you guys know me, I could run my mouth on a video and hit 4,000 words in a few minutes, right? Yep. And so is there, like, how effective is that? Or is there a middle ground there where maybe you take that and you give it to a copywriter who then takes it and tweaks it?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because I love the effectiveness, you know, where you're going is like, well, I'd rather just talk about it, or I'd rather be on video, but I want to get the benefit of the written. And so if you're like Tom, where you'd rather just record something, you know, I think you do need to take a couple more steps, but you can use that as kind of a shortcut, you know? So it's like, okay, I've got my video, I'm going to run it through a transcription service for $5 or $10 or whatever. Now I've got the transcript. You're still going to want to break it up with like headings and subheadings. So having your H2s, mm-hmm. like this is the topic I'm breaking down. And then you're going to want to add links to other related articles or service pages on your website. But chances are there's enough natural language in there talking about whatever the topic is. You're not going to have to do all this like keyword stuffing or voodoo or anything like that. You just want to add some more formalized structure to it with headings and links, and then always have a good call to action at the end. But I think that's a great method. You know, you're still going to get the benefit from it.
I've go ahead, Dan. You were going to say something.
I'm just curious. Yeah, just listening to Spencer talk about all these tips and tricks that you need to have. I mean, do you feel that your average contractor should DIY this stuff, or is this, do you need a professional? Google moves so fast, like it's ridiculous. So, like, I personally, there's no way I could keep up with it, so I hire it out. But I'm just curious what your view, because we have a lot of guys that have, you know, a lot of contractor websites look like just like the old school flyers that Tom used to leave at Builders, and it's just like, it's like a big business card that's kind of useless, you know, or just talks about how long you've been in business. So,
hey, I represent, you know, that. Stop it.
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess I would say it really depends on, I think, the owner or any like key member of the team and their propensity for having kind of that content mindset. I think if you can do this stuff in-house, that over the long haul, that will serve you better. I don't think everyone's ready for that, you know, because one, they don't have the time. That's the biggest piece. Is, you know, you're running operations, you're running, you know, sales, whatever it is, like those are heavy time commitment buckets. And so if you're going to commit to this internally and say, yeah, I'm going to spend, you know, 4 hours a week or 6 hours a week to writing content, shooting videos and doing that sort of thing, if you can't make that commitment, outsource it.
Yeah.
But if you can, then I think you can learn some of the SEO things, and like the stuff is changing, but it's not like it's changing daily that you got to be on it that crazy fast. Yep. You know, that I think you can tap into some of the people that are watching it daily and be getting the changes and then adjust your strategy. But again, that's a time thing to be paying attention. So I always just say, you know, it really depends on where you're at in your business journey, and can you spend the time. But I think a lot of times for these, our types of businesses, the owner is in the best spot to be that person on video, to be the consistent face of the brand. It could be another key leader that you know is going to be there a while, but a lot of times it's heavily connected with sales. And so in a perfect world, who they see in the videos, and then they kind of maybe have a similar sales experience, or they can maybe create some videos that tee up somebody else in sales and makes a nice transition. But I think that's like my perfect world vision for people, is if you can get there, but that means you've properly delegated operations and properly delegated sales, and you can shift to marketing, branding, face of the company, and you're spending most of your time there.
Okay.
So
I'd be curious to hear what you guys think about that though, actually.
Well, I agree. Now part of this agreement is the fact that I'm comfortable on camera. Do you know what I mean? So I get there's people that I have an extroverted personality and all that other stuff. And I know there's a lot of people that just, they're not wired that way. So I definitely understand where they're coming from, but I do. I think as the owner of my business, I need to be the champion of my brand. Okay. Now, to what you said, if you ain't going to do that, then stroke a damn check and have it done. Because that's better than not doing it. So, and I think there's room for a combination too. Like there's, you know, Dan, you're kind of the combination. There's things you do, yeah. There's things you don't do. So I'm curious, are there some trades that, I feel terrible even asking this question, because I know the three of us on here, we're all drinking the Kool-Aid of content, right?
I'll try to look at it as if I'm right, maybe right. Not.
Okay.
I'll look
at it more. But like if I'm a plumber or an electrician, an HVAC guy, it just seems the nature of those trades are somebody picks up the device, they hit the thing, whoever's ad pops up is going to get the call, right? It had nothing to do with blogs. It had nothing to do with organic search. I think there's certain trades that there's more research that goes into a project than certainly fixing a furnace or whatever. And so if you were like one of those quick response, quick sales cycle type companies, how much would you put into creating content, I guess? And does the amount of content organically, does it help your ads at all?
Yeah. Good question. Before I answer that, I want to jump back to what you said about you being comfortable on camera. Every once in a while, I throw this out there and I hope that nobody actually takes me up on it. But if you go and look up on YouTube, you can find videos of me from like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When I first started, I did like a 90-day social media summer series, and they are so bad. They are so, so bad. I am naturally introverted. I had two friends in high school. I like a small group of people. You know, I don't like big crowds. I don't like getting on stage. I have learned to improve my skills in that arena. I've learned to put myself out there. So I guess for anybody listening that's maybe like, oh, I can't get in front of the video, like you can, I would say record 100 videos. Don't publish any of them if they're all terrible, but just get the reps in and move on.
Yeah. So well, one more thing on that to be more comfortable on camera is sometimes I will write a blog of whatever I want to educate, and the act of writing it kind of ingrains it. It's like a rehearsal so that when I turn the camera on, it's like I've already been there, and then it's easier to do the recording. So sometimes I'll write the blog first, and then not because I'm introverted, but sometimes for my own structure, because you guys know me, I'm squirreling out all the time. And so it helps me to be more structured and get my thoughts in order before I hit record.
So that's a great tip. Yeah, I like it. So back to your other question, the more like emergency based or quick response, you know, services, I would still invest in content. I would definitely have a paid strategy as well. Like you say, you know, you got to show up in the ads, you know, but people are still going to scroll past the ads to look at the top few organic. So sometimes you write a blog and you want that blog to rank for whatever the question is. But that blog still helps the power of your site. So you're still contributing to your overall website authority, which is helping your homepage and helping your main site rank. If somebody just does that quick hitting search, they're trying to find a company and, you know, showing up in the local search with the map, you know, that's important too. So I would be posting content to Google My Business and that profile. And again, getting reviews, and then also just doing all the other like content boosting my website so that I can show up in the map, the number one organic search. And then if you do need those paid ads so that you're showing up in all three spots. And then playing the Kool-Aid side of it, I would argue that even in an emergency, somebody's going to quickly scan three companies because they want to still make sure two companies or, you know, and they'll read a couple reviews real quick just to make sure. And so I think they will do a little bit of research, and there's still that chance that they find that video or the, you know, something that connects you a little bit deeper than that other company. But certainly you got to have the ads there if you're that type of service.
What kind of cool marketing website, SEO, SEM, advertising, anything at all, what kind of data do you have that you've seen over the past year or so that might be a surprise to some people listening?
It's a good question. Gosh, I feel like I just did a video with a bunch of stats and none of them are being called out to me. I guess one thing that I'll throw out, I don't know if this quite answers your question because I can't think of something off the top of my head, but people that, let's just take a website that maybe hasn't implemented like a conversion strategy, which we haven't talked a ton about today, but I know, Tom, you've talked about it in the past and you and I have probably talked about it on one of our past episodes, but having something that somebody can download on your website as like a giveaway, you know, and they're doing research, so they fill out a form. Most of the sites that we look at before we take them over, they convert at 0.5%. just by installing some of what we call these top of the funnel lead conversion components, you know, it could be a free ebook guide, you know, could be a pricing guide. I would recommend that, honestly. We do those and they convert really well. You can take your conversion rate from like 0.5% to 1.5 or 2.5%. If you're a specialty trade contractor, you typically those conversion rates are in that 5 to 10% range. So you can get a lot higher. So you can triple your leads through content marketing with the same amount of traffic.
Wow.
And I still see most people are not doing that. Most websites don't have a good conversion offer. And if they do, it's, or I should say, if they have a top of the funnel conversion offer, it's sign up for our newsletter. Nobody wants another newsletter, you know, or it's, hey, sign up for this ebook, but it's like on one page of the website. Put it on every page, put it on every single page, put it on every single page, along with your phone number, along with the request a quote button or schedule a consultation. So I would say, like the stat, I guess, is, or the cool thing you can do is add a top of the funnel lead conversion thing to your website, put it on every page. Now you've got two ways to convert. Somebody can download and kind of test the waters, raise their hand, or they can call, they can schedule the quote or consultation. And you should see that conversion rate rise from, you know, 0.5% to 1.5, and you can get it higher if you work at it. Sorry, that didn't answer really your question. Well, I can't think of
it's okay. I know I put you on the spot there, but
yeah.
What's that, Dan?
Go ahead, Dan.
We do well with the downloads. We have a color guide that kills it. I think we just put a price guide out too. And it's, you know, if you're doing email marketing, it's the easiest way to get email addresses. But I get people, it's amazing. I've been paying the house recently for someone that just moved to town from Ohio, and she used a color that she saw in our color guide. She knew everything about me before she picked up the phone. And one of those stats that maybe you're alluding to, Tom, I don't know the source of it, but I heard recently, I think 80% of all homeowners or customers have done their online research before they even pick the phone up to call a contractor. So, you know, never mind the leads, like the bad leads that call you. It's like, which ones are never even giving you a chance to sell? And I think that's what a lot of these guys, including those service electricians and plumbers, are missing. It's like somebody's making a choice and not calling you. You know, that's a bigger worry to me.
Well, I think the other thing is when you have your website dialed in like you guys do, you know, by the time when somebody fills it out or calls you and it's come from your website, you already know that they're pretty good with your pricing. You know what I mean? Yep. Like that's not even an issue. They're in their mind, they're already made up that they want to hire you. You know, now it's just a matter of, you know, making sure you're not some psycho weirdo that I have to talk to, Dan, or something like that, you know, I just think, you know, I don't want to beat this up and make this a thing because it isn't even worth it. But we have a lot of people. We have a lot of people that are listening to this going, I'm never going to put my pricing on my website. And listen, guys, get the hell out of your own way. Like, I'll leave it at that, right? Because we've talked about that so much on all of our shows before.
Yeah.
That if this is, as of today, it's 2021, okay? You have these little boxes you carry around that give you all the information about anything in the world for the most part. And if you're one of those people that doesn't talk about your pricing, you know, it might be because of laziness. In my case, it's not a top rock in my business right now. I have other shit that I got to do before I redo my website and I take that project on. Okay. But at least I know, but I'm not arguing with the fact that I need to do that shit. I'm talking to the guys who are arguing that it's stupid to put your pricing and all that other shit. I'd rather somebody not call me than have the wrong people calling me.
So, and I know you said we won't beat this up, but I think it ties into a, I got to jump in on it, man. But what I was thinking is the complaint from a lot of those individuals is, man, websites don't work or they provide junk leads. Mm-hmm. But this is a perfect example of how to actually get rid of some junk leads, because if you have pricing where the minimum on your site is 20K, the 10K person hopefully isn't going to call you now because they're like, oh, these guys are expensive. And so now you've saved yourself a phone call. And so yeah, I think it actually does the reverse, is that it brings you more qualified leads. So
anyway,
we'll get off the price soapbox.
That's now, right. Well, listen, like I said, I'm going to put a bunch of links and stuff for people to find you in the book and this and that and work with you. But what did I not ask you or Dan ask, what did we not ask you about something in the book that you feel like you want to, you want to touch on before we roll out of here today that would be important for people?
Oh man. We hit some of the core principles, but I guess I would say like let's touch on the future. Cause I like to kind of forecast and like, where is this stuff going? And so kind of at the end, I talk about a few ideas of where I think people can go, and this will push the envelope forward. So I hope it will bring all the laggards up to just everything we talked about today. And then the people that are doing what we talked about today will push it forward. So, you know, if you're a contractor, start your own mini series, you know, do a video mini series and, you know, think, you know, my dad and I were talking about this, and he watches all these like car shows, and they have these, you know, guy comes in with car, company's there. They're like, we can do this thing. The guy leaves. And then the whole show is just the team working on it. They run into challenges. They get to the end. It's amazing. The customer comes in. Do you know how much business those people get? Like they're crushing it because they've thought of themselves as a media company first. Mm-hmm. And the media drives the business. And somebody that knows them and watches like one or two of their shows, they're never going to go to another auto shop or whatever. And I think it can be the same thing for our industry, where, and especially where we provide a lot of home transformations. Mm-hmm. And so if you could create just like one mini series where it's like four or five episodes, and you put it on YouTube, you promote it on your website, you get it out there. I mean, you could do more seasons and really go for it over time. But I think that takes this whole concept of thought leadership, brand, you know, media content to the next level. And I think that's, we'll see some companies do that. And, you know, you already see some of it at a really high level. There's some YouTubers out there in the construction mm-hmm. space that are huge. But I think you'll see it at more at a local level.
I like that a lot. I think, yeah, in a mini series, you know, an episode doesn't have to be an hour. Doesn't have to be a half an hour. It could be, it could be 8 minutes. It could be 12 mm-hmm. minutes. It could be, you know, and that's where investing in a video guy and an editor and all that other stuff who really knows what they're doing and having a good plan of each project. And because all those things have to come together. And now people are getting to know you, getting to know your personalities, the personalities of your team and all that. You know, that's why people are so much into TV and reality TV and stuff, as they get to know the hosts and all that stuff.
Think Red Bull and Red Bull Media.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a good example.
Red Bull Media does 50 million just through media. Red Bull does like 2 billion in sales or something, but just the media arm. And so, the way you can monetize media too. So if you build something up, you can actually do unlimited marketing because you're actually getting comped on the media side, and that's paying for all the marketing that's bringing you the business. So just think about that one as we, you know, wrap this up. Infinite marketing.
Spencer going all future on us, Dan.
Yep.
Which is good.
I like thinking forward, you know, going back is not fun. So.
Yeah, it's true. It's no fun.
Well, man. Spencer, how do we get the book? Where is it?
Well, it's on Amazon, but you can go to remodelermarketingblueprint.com, and we've got some book bonuses. So if you go there, go to Amazon, forward us your receipt, there's instructions there. So remodelermarketingblueprint.com, and get the bonuses. If you're going to buy it, you might as well get those.
All right. And for somebody who's interested in the other services you provide, where do you want them to go?
Builderfunnel.com. You'll get pixeled. You'll get content galore. Like, you know, so you'll see my face.
We're going to remarket the shit out of you.
Yeah. Remarket the shit out of you.
Watch out. Yeah. So warning, if you, that's the easiest way. And then you can find free content, free podcasts, videos, or you can just apply to work with us and whatever you're looking for.
Good stuff. Dan, anything else, buddy?
No, this is a wealth of information. So hopefully it, give some of our guys a little more clear vision on why marketing is important and where the trends are going.
They are. Like, if you're not growing, you're dying, right? So you got to change with times and make investments in this for your business so you can finally move on to the next level, whatever that means for you and your company. So, well, Spencer, as always, man, super appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a blast. I like that, dude. It's,
and congrats on the new addition to the family, on the book. Great year in business. I can't wait to see a year from now what the hell you got going on, because it's probably going to be pretty big.
Who knows? We'll see when we get there. There you go. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, guys. Have a great day. And with that, guys, give us a review on iTunes. Share this podcast with another contractor. Appreciate y'all being part of the fight. And I will catch you. We will catch you. We, Dan, we will catch you next time.
Inclusion.
So, I just want Dan to feel special. I didn't want him to get off the podcast and curl up in a ball and send me some text later going, "I don't think you appreciate me," you know, and all that other shit. So, all right, you guys rock. We got to roll. We'll see you next time.